Thanks so much for joining us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to take a look at painting. Painting is an easy way to update any room, and we're talking about how to add a new splash of color to it right now to your home. Nick Slavik is our guest today, proprietor of Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. Nick's been a craftsman for more than 29 years. His company has been awarded more than 15 national awards for craftsmanship over the last 5 years. And Nick's the host of Ask a Painter Live. It's a weekly live social media show where he speaks to current industry topics and answers questions live from the internet. So, are you thinking of repainting a room or more in your home? Or are you wondering how to prep your front door for a fresh coat? Want to hear from you. The number to call is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Nick Slavik, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate that.
Tell us a little more about your business and how you got into it.
Yes, I was forced into it by my father at 10 years old, and I have grown to love it dearly over the years. So this is almost 3 decades now in it. My business has been around for 17. We are a residential painting company in the southwest area of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And depending on seasonally, we employ between 25 and 40 master craftspeople and fine finishing shop. And we love old Victorian restorations. We're suckers for those. And yeah, we have a lot of fun doing it.
What are the most common mistakes you see people making when they're repainting in their home inside?
It's usually with prep, and it's the least fun part of the job. Nobody wants to do it, but we joke within the industry that master craftspeople are basically preppers that happen to do a little painting at the end. So all the scraping, all the sanding, all the smoothing out and the patching, the priming, the things like that are really what does make a masterful paint job.
So all that work ahead of time makes it a lot easier when it comes to and not only easier, I expect, but it's going to be longer lasting.
And more beautiful. So if you think about like when somebody calls us in to enamel a set of kitchen cabinets in a lived-in house, we will spend 56 hours of labor doing it. It literally takes us about 9 minutes to professionally spray one coat of enamel on the cabinets, but all that other time is prep and deprep and then taking care of our clients.
What about colors? You know, my house, I have a lot of color inside my house. There's yellows and there's browns and there's greens that I like.
Yep.
Is that the way to go? Or what about color?
Well, it's really interesting. So we get a lot of data points from our clients, you know, and what we've seen over the years, I've been around this industry long enough to see it go from every new house that was painted and created in the early 90s was golden oak trim and white walls. And then we went through our phase of tan walls, red dining room, sage green kitchen. And then we went through what they're calling now the millennial gray, where everything is Sherwin-Williams repose gray and it's taupey and it's things like that. And now we're into a phase where woodwork is either black or white and walls are white again. And so it goes in these large trends like this. But I will say, like, Larry, we do have clients that it tends to be about 25% of our clients. Their personality dictates the color, and they will have these bright, vibrant colors, and they won't follow the exact trends.
I wondered about that because when you look, and I'm not planning to sell my home anytime soon, but when you see these little stories and so forth from people who are selling homes, they'll say, well, paint it a neutral, you know, white or, which I think, oh, that sounds so dull.
And it is. So if you're only in this for the financial return, great advice. But there is also the value of the lived experience of being in your house. And I mean, you're talking to a guy who had an orange exterior of a home and I loved it dearly. And actually when we went to sell our house, it was a selling point. They're like, oh man, that's that old historic orange house. And the people who have bought it have lived there for 5 years, haven't changed the outside yet. So it really depends, but that is common advice, is to do something neutral for resale.
How long should, this is Ted from Superior, how long should he let paint cure on home before putting up like storm windows?
Yeah. So for me, cure is a funny thing, because scientifically, if you put a coat of acrylic paint on something, 99% of the curing is going to happen within hours or 24 hours. And then that last 1%, 2%, 3%, that's where you hear about the 30-day cure time and things like that. So for master craftspeople, we always think about three stages. There's dry to the touch, there's sandability, and then there's finished cure time. So most paint will dry to the touch in 20 to 30 minutes. You can sand it between 4 and 7 hours, 4 and 8 hours, and then fully cured 30 days. So honestly, when I do stuff on my house, if I were to paint the outside of my house, I would have no problem the next day putting up shutters, putting up things back on the house without any problems.
Mm. Sheila in La Crosse has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I was wondering about our Pella front door. It's factory painted, and it needs a refresh. What kind of paint would I use on that kind of a door?
Mm-hmm. And just making sure, does it come with the wood grain, the stain, or is it an actual solid color paint?
Solid colored paint.
Perfect. So I actually did a test, and we do test every year to see which paints do very well. The best advice is to do a 100% acrylic paint, a very high quality paint with a little bit of shine. So all the major manufacturers will have their good, better, best versions. I would go as high as you can on that scale. And you're probably looking at a quart of paint that's going to be $30, $40, give or take. Find something with either a matte, a low luster, or an eggshell shine. And depending on the color, you may want to prime before it. But if you're going same color over same color, you should be able to go get a very high quality, 100% acrylic exterior paint with a little shine, put it on with no problems.
All right, Sheila, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. You can join in too at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. Another emailers wonder, well, what are the real steps to prepare the surfaces for painting inside the house?
Inside the house is way easier than outside. So for when you think about walls are very easy. If there's dust, remove the dust, either with a Swiffer or a cotton rag. Patch any holes, sand any holes, tape the woodwork, and then start painting. Pros usually do two coats over the same thing. Drastic color change, you'll need a coat of primer and then two coats. Exterior is where it gets fun. So when you think about the average outside of a painted house, we typically, our professional process is to wash to get any dust and powdery mildew off. We will then assess it for any bare spots. Any bare substrate will get spot primed with an acrylic primer, very high quality acrylic primer. We will then caulk only after the priming is done, so the caulking sticks, and then two coats of a very high quality 100% acrylic paint. Decks are a completely different science, completely different thing after that.
And it can be expensive if you want to paint the outside of your home. I mean, I've got a 3-story and I was a bit surprised. I just had it repainted about a year ago. And it looks wonderful and they did a fantastic job. There were three guys working on it for a long, long time. Yeah. But it can be expensive.
Well, and it's really interesting. And, you know, I'll come from the point of a professional painting company who looks at the data and the profit and loss sheets, but also holds craftsmanship in high regard. And I will just say there are no cheap home projects. So it seems like I can't remember the last time I did a home project where I was like, wow, that's so inexpensive. But when we paint, I mean, when we're talking a 3-story house, I may put a team of my craftspeople on that house and we may spend 340 hours on something like that. Yep. And you times that times the labor rate and it gets very expensive very quick.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, you're looking at about $70 an hour per painter if you've got, at least in the Madison area. So you'd have $210 an hour with three guys. And there are a lot of expenses, and they did a masterful job.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. I'm really happy. I've got an established business people who knew what they were doing with quality paint. So I shouldn't be complaining about the cost, but it did seem to be a bit of a surprise when it when the final bill came, for sure.
No, we can always complain about the cost of home projects. That's just how it is.
Patty in Wausau, it's your turn. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you so much. So I have an older home, so it sounds like I'm talking to the right person. Mm-hmm. And I have a smaller kitchen, and it has wallpaper on it. And it's been there a while prior to me moving there. And I have tried a few spots to take some wallpaper off, and I'm fearing that it's going to compromise whatever is underneath there. So I'm wondering about the possibility of painting over this wallpaper and what kind of success I would have with that.
Yes. So this is always a sticky subject because there's so many unknowns, and I see it from the homeowner's point of view, which is I want this to be done well, but there's unknowns, but also from the contractor's point of view, we don't know how many layers of paper, we don't know how it was put on, we don't know what it's like under. We actually just did a wallpaper removal job on a historic home. And what we warned the clients was your walls may be held together by this wallpaper. And when we did take a section of wallpaper off, the walls were held together by the wallpaper. So we immediately stopped and then assessed the plaster. So what I will say is if you have to paint over wallpaper, a lot of people will consider this a mortal sin. Honestly, if it's your house, I would say do what's good for you. The basic idea of painting over wallpaper, though, is it has to be in relatively good shape. If it's bubbling and peeling, not a good idea. Our professional way of doing this when we have to is to make sure it's a clean surface, and we use oil or Elkid primer over the top of that. If you use a water-based primer over wallpaper, the moisture from the paint or the primer will seep into the wallpaper, and it will actually start the stripping process, and you'll start to see bubbles. And that is nightmare scenario, because now you've got bubbling paper, wet paint. So oil primer, Elkid primer over the top of that. And then once everything is dried, you can kind of skim coat and patch all the seams and everything else and then paint like normal.
There you go, Patty. Thank you so much for calling. Chris emailed us. Her basement utility room has a concrete floor that she'd like to seal or paint. Wondering about that process. What do you suggest she use?
Yeah. So number one, I'll dispel the myth that paint will solve any moisture issues. If there is water coming into your basement, that last 3 microns of paint on the outside is not going to solve that. So number one, make sure that you're not having moisture seeping in, or that there's not an existing moisture. If you want to create a nightmare scenario, you take concrete that's very porous and have moisture pass through it, and then put a coating on it, and you will have a peeling surface the rest of your life. So if we don't have a moisture issue, if you want to paint it, the professional way is to diamond grind it, prep it, and use a specific concrete coating system. Homeowners will likely not be doing this. So what I would do is abrade the surface with a random orbital sander and 80 grit paper attached to a vacuum just to give it some tooth. And then I would use a specific flooring concrete primer, something that seeps in. And then you can use a very good sort of commercial enamel or a flooring enamel. And any of the major paint manufacturers, if you go into a store, they will actually have a coating system that's not just a deck floor paint that you can use for it. If you ask for a specific masonry coating system for an interior concrete floor, they will give you a primer, consolidant, and a top coat, and they work very well. I did it in my own house.
Thanks very much for that question. Nick Slavik, our guest today, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company based out of New Prague, Minnesota. Great to have him with us today. And if you have some questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking painting on the home, on your home today with our guest Nick Slavik of Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company, based in New Prague, Minnesota. It's great to have him, and he is host of Ask a Painter Live. It's a weekly live social media show where he speaks to current industry topics and answers questions live from the internet. So great to have him with us. And again, you can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. www.pellaclinic.org. Corey in Two Rivers has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I purchased a 1923 Craftsman type house, and it has cedar siding on it, the shingles type thing. And I'm assuming it's been there for a long time. It looks like it was painted most the last time with a solid color stain, as far as I can figure out. It needs to be painted again. And so a couple of things. One is I've gotten mixed information about power washing a house before you paint it. What should you do that or not? And certainly with shingles. And then also, what's the best, should I just go ahead and do it again with a solid stain, or can you actually use paint? Or
yeah.
Oh boy, this is a hot topic. And so number one, it may be illegal to power wash your house. If it was built before 1978, there could be lead paint on it. And in fact, the 19-teens, the 1920s are when most of the lead paint was. And we are what's called an RRP certified lead renovation firm. I am actually certified by the EPA to handle this sort of thing. Many painting contractors are. And in fact, any painter you have on your house that you would have them touch this needs to be certified to do this type of work. It's not lead abatement. It's not where they come and strip lead off. It's more of just safe handling practices and safe prep to keep you, our people, and the neighborhood safe. So number one, I would not pressure wash your house as a point of law and as a point of sort of morals about pressure washing old houses. We would dry prep this house. We would do all the RRP containment around. My people would be in full hazmat gear. We have yellow tape out there. We would scrape and sand to the law to remove any old paint. And then if it was wood and there was much of it exposed, we would go back with a solid color acrylic siding stain, very high quality one, and do two coats over those shingles. Now, this is always, we have a decision tree in my company to figure out if we use 100% acrylic paint or solid color acrylic siding stain. Both will give you a painted look, but the solid color acrylic siding stain will penetrate into the wood more, and it has a less proclivity to peel, but it will fade quicker. 100% acrylic paint will have a proclivity to peel more, but it will fade less. So honestly, you would have to see how much wood is exposed. That's how we make the decision, but definitely use very good materials, and anybody who touches your house, make sure they're certified by the EPA with an RRP status.
Yeah. How do you find a painter like that, or just a painter, and maybe you don't need that particular expertise, but to find a good painter?
Yeah. So number one, if you have a historic home and you want a certified firm to do this stuff for you, most legitimate painting companies are, you can actually go to the EPA's website and then look them up. And I'm on there too. If you have trouble finding a painter in your area, I'm also part of the Painting Contractors Association. It's a 140-year-old nonprofit nationwide where we might be able to connect you with an upstanding firm in your area. And then there's always the tried and true way, which is who do you know in your family and friends and your neighborhood network who has painted their house, who's had a good time? Larry, sounds like you had your house painted, mm-hmm. had a good time. You want to find Larry's who had their house painted by somebody very good and ask them who did it. And then you can do your Google research, the Google reviews, the website presence, social media presence.
Yeah. I asked the guys who are on my show who talk about renovation and design as to who they recommend, and I got some names, and that's how I wound up with a really good company, a local company, been in business awesome. A long, long time. There you go, Corey. Thank you. And Mark in Duluth, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I'd like to ask your guest, I have a cabin with it's either T1 or T10 paneling, and what's the best way to repaint that?
Yeah, I believe it's T111 siding. It's 4x8 sheets, sometimes larger, of kind of corrugated cedar siding. And I assume it's already been painted before. And so basic process with that would be, if it has not been before 1978, or you know that there's no lead paint after some testing or some research, you can pressure wash this, but then you want to make sure the moisture in the wood is below 15% to do anything to it. You can test this with a digital moisture meter you can get for $25 at any paint store. And at that point, our standard process, our tried and true method for any natural surface outside, is to spot prime any bare substrate with 100% acrylic primer. Do any caulking you need after primer, and then apply two coats of either solid color acrylic siding stain or 100% acrylic, very premium house paint.
Mark, there you go. Thank you so much. Ben emailed. He says, I tried painting my interior walls, and the paintbrush came away with plaster on it. Cool. How to prep for failing plaster? The house is 100 years old.
Yeah, this is always a tough one. And because we have restoration in our name and we are restorationists, we get a lot of people saying, hey, we want our plaster restored. And we say, well, that's a subjective term. Do you want us to go find horsehair and lime dust and mix up all this stuff and do it the traditional way? Or would you like us to stabilize what you have, maybe patch in with some gypsum board, use some drywall mud and some joint tape and fix everything? And so usually what we do is the latter. We combine historic methods, respect for historic substrates with modern materials. So number one, if you have a 100-year-old historic home and you believe that your plaster might be loose, you can kind of see some heaves in the wall. If you can push on it and the plaster moves, it feels like it's disconnected from the lath, you're going to have to reconnect that to the lath. That means the plaster key has come off. So you can do this with all sorts of methods, using screws with washers, glues, adhesive, things like that. But number one is to get that solid again so that when you do go to paint, it won't come off. After that, you address the cracks and paint like normal.
There you go. Very good answer to that question. And thanks so much for the question. An emailer wonders, why might you get an uneven paint finish? Which must have happened.
Death by a thousand cuts, Larry. So number one, it could be a bad brush, a bad roller, bad paint, or improper paint. It could be paint that's not mixed. And it. I will always go back respectfully to human error, though. In my company, the standard operating procedure for painting interior walls is to get everything prepped off, cut one wall at a time, and then roll one wall. And the masters of this craft, we abide by the wet edge rule. When you paint a wall and even the outside of a house, if you keep it all wet so it dries at the same time, it's going to dry all together, and that will give you that beautiful, professional, lustry kind of look. So what the worst thing that I see people do is cut all the walls in a room twice because they don't like doing it, and then the next day come back and roll, and you are guaranteed to get uneven picture framing, different shine levels, different colors all over the place.
Okay. What about, here's another question. What advice can you share to paint edges along walls and trim?
Ooh, good one. So number one, as a hallmark in my company, we do not abide by the thing that no tape is good painting. We mask everything. We use tons of rolls of tape, tons of plastic. We tape everything. We cover all the woodwork so little tiny micro specks of paint don't get on there. That'll give you a nice clean line. And then after that, it's buying a very good brush. The baseline brush we use for interior wall cutting in my company is almost a $30 brush, and they are beautifully crafted. They last forever, and they'll actually make you a better painter. So, the other technique I can give you is when you're going to cut a ceiling line, people seem to have the most trouble with that. Don't feel like you have to get it perfect on the first shot. If you can get it 90 to 95% straight, it's amazing on the second coat how easy it is to fill in those highs and lows, and it creates a perfect line. And go down from it, look up into the corner, don't get your face too close, and let that good brush do all the work.
And how do you prevent paint from dripping and ruining your work?
Oh, wow. So this has, again, I hate to go back to human error and technique, but it is really that sort of thing. But what you can do to limit the occurrence of that is very high quality brush, and especially roller cover. You should be spending $8, $9, $10 on a roller cover. It'll just hold the paint better like that and release it only under the wall and not on the other things. There is a brushing and cutting technique as well where you dip the brush into the can, wipe one side, tip the brush up, and then cut. You see a lot of people painting where they dip the brush in the can, slap it along the sides. You have a lot of paint on all the edges. And then when you take the brush up to cut, it starts running down the other side. In my company, I teach my young apprentices, dip it, wipe one side, up to the wall, no drips. I've thought a lot about this, Larry.
you did indeed. And I hope we can have you back, Nick. I'm sorry we were out of time so quickly. Nick, thank you so much. Nick Slavik is proprietor of Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company, and he is host of Ask a Painter Live. It's a weekly live social media show where he speaks to current industry topics and answers questions live from the internet. It's great to have him with us today, and we'll try to get him back and do this again. It was really fun, and I learned a lot in a very quick amount of time. And I always learn a lot from our team, our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for joining in. Garden Talk tomorrow. Brian Huddleston and Lisa Johnson will be our guests. I'm Larry Mueller.